Welcome to the Revital Health Podcast, where we explore the exciting intersection of modern science, ancestral wisdom, and personalized health optimization. I'm your host, Jodi DeVal, naturopath, integrative medicine expert, and founder of Revital Health Clinic in Perth, Western Australia. Each episode, we'll dive deep into cutting-edge therapies, groundbreaking research, and practical strategies to help you live your best life, having plenty of fun along the way. Whether you're keen to supercharge your energy, balance your hormones, or discover the latest biohacking trends, you've come to the right place. If you love what you hear, don't forget to like, subscribe, and follow so you never miss a moment with world-leading experts and game-changing insights. It's time to unlock your full health potential. Let's go!
Revital Health is a proud member of the Health Optimization Network. Health Optimization Medicine and Practice is a 501c3 nonprofit on a mission to educate doctors and practitioners on how to optimize for health rather than treating disease. If you're interested in becoming a practitioner or donating, head over to homehope.org. Revital Health Clinic is the first and only of its kind, exclusive health optimization clinic in Australia with state-of-the-art health technology protocols and personalized care, with compounded medicines made specifically for your testing individualities. To find out more, head to revitalhealth.com.au.
Today, I am joined by Lindsay Hilder, a body therapist of over 25 years, co-director of the Emmett Technique, and the daughter of founder Ross Emmett. This conversation was genuinely full circle for me because I first heard about Emmett in the animal world back when I was younger, supporting horses and even a foal with nerve issues, using a combination of therapies including the Emmett. So now to sit down with Lindsay and explore in depth is pretty special. In this episode, we break down what Emmett point actually is and why it's not easily boxed into a single category like acupressure or nerve junctions. We talk about Emmett as a light touch results-based neuromuscular release, why the timing and precision matters, and why the technique is taught with an inclusive, not exclusive philosophy. We also go into the 7 A's, the bedside manner and environment piece, and how safety, language, and set and setting can dramatically shift client outcomes. If you're a practitioner, a therapist, or someone who wants more autonomy in your own health and well-being, then you're going to love this episode. Let's dive in.
All right. Welcome, Lindsay Hilder, to the show. And thank you so much for coming on and giving your time today to talk to us about the Emmett Technique.
Thank you for having me.
So I always like to start these podcasts as a bit of your journey. And so I know, well, and the audience may know, I'm not sure, but your dad created the Emmett Technique and now you've taken over in this regard. And obviously growing up around it, within it, and then, you know, practicing in it or becoming a therapist in it. Talk to me about all of that journey.
Sure. Well, it's one of those things, actually, when I talk to my siblings about it, we didn't really grow up with it around us. Dad has always had this really innate ability to see things that other people don't. So it started with animals and things like that. Dad's always had an affinity with animals. So it kind of started, actually, indirectly through animals. So it's one of those things, we have been around it for a long time and watched it develop, but it really didn't come to the capacity that it is now or even look like it does now until the early 2000s. So my siblings and myself were already sort of adults ourselves at that point, but we'd definitely seen things along the years. Dad was doing massage and Bowen and different things like that. But it's nice to come now full circle and see where it really started and then watch the journey as it continues. So myself, I tend to have a few sort of similarities to Dad, which is I've always loved the body and health. And from a young age, I just was fascinated by the body and what it could do and how do we take care of it. That was probably another big thing for myself growing up. I was fascinated so much that I decided at 16 I wanted to go and learn massage, which was quite unusual at the time, I have to say. But that really got me into a different space of people that are talking about wellness and the body and health and how does that sort of evolve. So I started doing massage myself at 16, and then I went into that realm, and I even went further with natural therapies. I studied nutritional medicine. I even got into pharmacology, did a pharmacy background, but I always had this want to go back to body therapy. I wanted to feel like I was doing something to give back to people. So when I came up with Emmett Technique as it is today, I was sort of along for the journey. So for me, it wasn't that difficult to sort of transition into it because I was started so young as a body therapist myself. So I already had insight, background. I could see a lot of things that Dad could see, which is one of the hardest things today, is trying explaining these Emmett points and what Dad sees. So it's really nice to sort of see both sides of the coin there as well and watch it develop. But had some wonderful experiences in body therapy as a whole. And I remember actually learning, just to retract back there quickly, Dad started massage because he actually had an injury himself. And he got into that and then started teaching massage in the late 80s. And then he went on to Bowen, and he actually enjoyed Bowen and started teaching that as well. But there was always something missing for him. So when he first came up with the slightly different, as I said, Emmett Technique as it is now, watching that evolve, and it was just initially, I thought it was just my dad giving me advice. And I thought people just knew that stuff. But it was really interesting over the years to see it develop into a technique that's standalone but can also be used with other things was really quite nice. So yeah, it's been around it but not around it, if that makes sense, having that exposure to it. So it's been nice.
Yeah, no, beautiful. It's an innate, I think, driver as well. And I'll explain slightly. I know it's not about me today, but and how I found out about Emmett. But I think we do have this intuitive nature about some of us. And so we can see a little bit more and we want to be able to help. And for me, I actually got into my first studies was remedial massage straight out of high school. And so I opened the paper, picked a course, and it was remedial massage. But before that, we had a molly coddle farm where we would save animals, and I was a horse rider. And so I competed in state dressage and, you know, all these amazing things. And my mum was so into natural therapies, and that's where I ended up being a naturopath, because I was so far involved in natural medicine from my animals. But we used to have people give Emmett Technique on the animals. Yeah, so it's just this beautiful, like, come back around for me when I get to then interview someone who has then, as a child, I grew up hearing about all these keywords and names and, herbal therapies that, you know, people are practicing with animals and now into the humans as well. So, yeah, it's a beautiful space to be in. And I've heard so much about it, seeing how effective these beautiful therapies are, Bowen included. You know, we used to spend more and have more therapies put onto our horses and recovery of our animals than even ourselves back then. So, yeah, it's a really cool thing to have. So let's sort of dive in, I guess, into the actual Emmett, because I'm fascinated to hear a little bit more. Obviously, there's a limited space of knowledge that I have around it. But I know you mentioned before that there's these specific area points that Emmett focuses on. And to see those, you said, is a very different way to be looking at things. So explain a little bit more about that for me.
Sure. It's probably one of the most common questions we get asked. You know, is an Emmett point? What is that sort of, is it a nerve junction? Is it in acupressure points? Is it? And the answer is sort of indirectly all of the above and none of them. So some of them can be on, you know, junctions of different things. We say neuromuscular because all we're really doing is we're affecting the nerves inside the muscle to release groups of muscles or improve posture, function, whether that be towards the organs, lymphatics, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So these points are very specific. So Dad has a bit of a way of talking about it and saying, like, the body electrician. And what he means by that is, often what we're looking for is the light, but the light switch is actually on the wall that controls the light. So some of these points might be indirectly actually accessing the psoas muscle, for instance. We're not directly on the psoas muscle, but it has a huge influence on that. So it's a light touch neuromuscular release. And as I said, the points vary as far as exactly where they are. Dad just usually says here and here and there and there. So when someone comes to him and asks these questions, is it at the junction of? He just says, there and there, here and here. And one of the downfalls we actually do find is that people trying to over-explain it, you know, they're looking for something specific. And sometimes there isn't a direct correlation between the muscle overlap and this particular point or a nerve or an organ, etc. So they are very specific points and they're held in a very particular way. So the body just releases. And, you know, it's one of those things, it is quite a challenging thing to explain. But once you feel it yourself as a client, or you're doing it as a therapist, it has a very unique feel to it. And we're really working with the body to show us what's next. It's like a game of pool. You know, you take your first shot and then you wait to see what's coming next before you make the next move.
Yeah. So the specific points, are they the same on every person but in different order? Is that?
It depends. Yes.
Okay.
But yes and no. Yeah. I'd say yes to an extent. This is why we say if you've got a body, we can treat you. We've treated cats, elephants, dogs, horses, humans, babies. It doesn't matter. These points are all still there. But what we do like to do, and I'm not sure if you can see our nice little chameleon here,
yeah.
We say that we're the chameleon approach to body therapy because we treat every person as an individual.
Yes.
Yes, they all have the points, as you sort of said, that could be slightly 1 millimeter left on this person, 1 millimeter right on that person. It could be slightly different on each person, but that's what we teach our therapists, how to actually find those points.
And that's a skill, isn't it? And I'm in the space of personalized medicine, and I'm hearing everything you say, and I apply it. You know, I apply it to the cells and the biochemistry and everything now these days because I'm out of my remedial massage years. But you never learn, you never lose that intuitive feel for how things are very different and present differently or are hidden in certain ways. And so, to know how to do that or see that requires also work on yourself. And this is why I think, you know, as therapists and, you know, as you said about your dad, you know, he learned through his own need to do something. And so it always generally comes like that with healers or therapists or practitioners, and that they've come from a necessity themselves and had to learn the hard way to then become experts or to know how to then, you know, relay this information onwards. I remember you saying it's hard to sort of talk about, but or to explain it, it's Reiki as well. You know, I did many times I did Reiki, and I always used to put Reiki into my treatments mm-hmm. as I was doing. And it's just another tool within it. But it's so hard to explain these things because, again, your visual system, we can't see what is happening.
That's right. And it is always, it is very time dependent as well. You know, we usually hold these particular points or point. There's also, we do switches as well. And it's very specific. So even the time that we hold it is very unique to each individual. It can be up to a certain time frame because we're there to sedate it, not irritate it. So it's like holding your finger on an iPhone and you hold too long and everything shakes. It doesn't know what you want to do. So it's very specific, and we allow the body to give us the signal of when enough is enough, which is great. It's a nice way to really work with the person rather than, we all know what it's like as being a therapist and even as clients ourselves, that we find there's nothing worse than feeling like your needs are not met or you're not heard, especially to do with your health journey. I think is a really important factor that we give a little bit of autonomy back to them as well, and that responsibility back to the individual. So they feel like they're valued and heard as well as getting a treatment.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, there's so many therapies now in the manual therapy space. You know, you've got needling, you've got, you know, electrode therapy. You know, personally, this is why I found out about the Emmett technique. We had a foal that had nerve damage and we were using electrode therapy with acupuncture and the Emmett technique. And I remember that explicitly. And she regained, you know, full function of her face back again, but had nerve, you know, big nerve issues prior to that and couldn't suckle and all these other things. So there's so many options. And that's what I love about, you know, reading about Emmett and now, you know, revising what I already had heard about Emmett is this inclusivity. And it's because this is what we need, you know, in modern medicine, in practice that we have, in alternative therapies, we need a combination and we need tools and we need different timings, as you said, for things that will work at certain specific, you know, ways that will help this person through their trauma or through their injury or through whatever is going on. So, you know, I guess my question is that, you know, how do you see them matching up? How do you see the therapies, the tools, the manual, and matching up with Emma? And what are maybe the best ones that you've seen, or are all of them really good? Yeah, so.
I think that's a really good question to ask too, because that was another big thing that Dad wanted to share with everyone. He said, if I'm going to share this, I want everyone to be able to learn this. So Dad's actually dyslexic and ADHD. So he doesn't sit still very long and he's very, very inquisitive. But the whole point of that was it really heightened those things that naturally came to him, that observation, that intuition, that way of looking at things. He's very visual. So I think that was a really nice way when he was learning his own sort of journey with that. He thought, hang on a second, sometimes what we learn in our pieces of paper and our education is actually teaching us not to be like this. It's not allowing us that freedom of being able to choose and actually letting the client decide. It's all about almost forcing something to happen to the body rather than allowing the body to have an experience, which was another big thing as well. So when Dad was saying, we're going to teach this, and we went, okay, that's great. And he said, I want everyone to be able to learn this. So whether you are a medical professional or you are a stay-at-home mum, it doesn't matter if you're looking after your horse or your elderly mother, everyone should be empowered to be able to do something for themselves and their friends and family. So this is when we do our courses, there isn't a prerequisite. We teach you everything that you need to know because, as we said before, even these points, sometimes if we're our medical background, we're looking for something, we're looking for, but that's not on anything. So it must be the junction of this muscle and this muscle. And it's not. It's actually just allow the body to have its experience, feel it, you see it release, just enjoy it. So sometimes having a background of other modalities can actually interfere with our openness and acceptance of the teaching. So we have our courses open to everyone, and it's we teach you what you need to know. But that was a big thing he really wanted to push, was that anyone can do this. It's not something that just Ross Emmett can do. Everyone can. So that was a really nice thing. And when we do other modalities, it's really about integrating. We say it's inclusive, not exclusive. It can be used fantastic as a standalone on itself, on its own, or it can be integrated into chiropractic, osteopath. You know, I'm a massage and Bowen therapist. I add it into my practice, no problem whatsoever, because we're not doing anything that's going to dysregulate the body in any way, or it's going to negate anything you're doing with any other modalities. It doesn't necessarily need it, but it can be introduced in multitude of ways as well. So I frequently use it with in conjunction with Bowen and massage, and I find it just, it's also really, really easy for me to use on my body as well, because I've been a massage therapist since I was 16 years of age. My hands get absolutely destroyed after a while. So it's nice to be able to do something that's fast and effective. It's not painful. It's just really nice to have those releases too, but I don't have to spend an hour or 2 hours massaging to get the same results.
Yeah, and light touch, like you say. So, yeah, I'd love to go through in a minute, you know, what you see and the benefits of, and, you know, dive into a little bit more around how you're using it maybe for indications, treatments, and how outcomes look. So just to give that as a little bit. But firstly, you commented on, you know, where other medical professionals, you know, with too much knowledge can, you know, it can impede intuition. And I see this often as well. But we are now in a fast and hard world.
Yes, we are.
I mean that when I say that, because it's really like, woof, okay. So, you know, like you must take all of these things and, you know, the more the better and the harder the better and the more pain the better, and we're biohacking this and biohacking that. And I don't have anything against these things, because if you can use these tools, then absolutely fantastic. And I have a lot of biohacking tools that I use with my clients. However, it's shiny objects, and really that we don't always need the shiny things to make big impact. And this is why I love coming back to the basics of techniques like Emmett, because like you say, it can be for anyone. But you know, I guess thoughts around that, you know, what you've seen evolve, because you've been through this process with your dad over the years. And so maybe some, highlights, I guess, of what you've seen the health world turn into.
Yeah, and it's actually been interesting because I have I've got obviously the attachment with dad and
Yes.
the Emmett technique, but also in my own capacity of, you know, seeing health evolve in the last 25 years, really watching it through my own experiences as well. And it has really changed. And I will say we are in 40 countries teaching Emmett technique, which is pretty phenomenal. But one thing I noticed with talking to other countries is the problems that people are having are pretty consistent globally, which is interesting. But the way people address it really does vary in each country. And as you said, sometimes there's a shiny new thing that is the craze and that works for a minute and then there's something else. But it's really interesting to watch Australia's space as far as natural health is concerned and complementary medicine is definitely a little bit further behind than some of the European countries because they're seeing the value and the benefit of it. And it's really taking off. And it's really nice to hear back from instructors and therapists over in some of these countries how much better the client outcome becomes being able to integrate it nicely in and having that acceptance, I guess, not just from the public, but from health societies and research papers and all those bits and pieces acknowledging the benefit of these things. So I've seen it change quite a lot. Australia's getting there slowly. It's slower than some, as you probably know, but look, it still has its value. And I think that people as a whole are really changing their perspective on their health. And it's shifted from giving all the responsibility to others to now people are starting to look a little bit more inside and going, hang on a second, I could actually be in control of this rather than asking other people to control it for us.
Yes, absolutely. So well said. Incredible. I noticed the same things. Yeah, so I would ditto on all of that because I work a lot in the US. I also see clients in Europe and also have students that I help to mentor in Europe. And yeah, it's Australia is frustrating to say the
Sad but
least.
true.
So yeah, I hope that it rapidly changes. And I think it will, but it does take its time. Yeah, so yeah, and I love to hear that you think the same, which is really good. And again, I think more of the speech and the talking and the information that we can give about these particular techniques. And I think there's the right people in the right spaces now, and that gives me a lot of hope. And that's a beautiful thing. So we've got lots to come and lots to be excited about.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really interesting to watch how people respond, though, too, when you give something back to them. And it's not just from a body therapy point of view. You know, we've got obviously body therapy where we're helping them in assistance with pain and discomfort. But there's also from the other side of things that the change in people, we do something in Emmett called 7 A's. And it's really about, to put it bluntly, bedside manner. Really, bedside manner and the environment and how that can actually change the clinical practice that we have or our approach to clients. And it's so interesting if we do the 7 A's, we call it. So it's attitude, atmosphere, environment, all of those sort of things that play a part on the experience. So if someone doesn't feel comfortable, they're less likely to take on information and changes in their body. And it's really interesting to watch that shift in your clients themselves as well. And it's actually just really, really refreshing to see people take some of that back for themselves, you know, and it's something that I didn't realize was lacking until I've really sort of stepped further into this role now and seeing it on a global scale. It's like, okay, this is really to actually watch unfold on a human perspective, you know, us all change and take that on. So it's nice.
And see the importance of it. I think it's really, really important. I echo all of this. And the reason why I created my clinic 4 years ago in this particular space is I didn't have control in my previous space over that the set and the setting. And now I have all the low light. I have proper, you know, lighting. I have proper smells, proper music. the furniture, the colors, the floors, everything into, the greeting and the way that, even just the feng shui, and we have lots of plants. And so everything I've set up for those particular purposes. And when people walk in, you get the confirmation, oh, wow, this place is really relaxing. I don't want to leave. Oh, wow, I feel so good. It smells really good in here. Oh, my body relaxes. Can I come here in any time? Like, this is what we want for a health space, because, I'm not saying that I'm special, but if we can create, just like you've said, more of these atmospheres, then people are more likely to have benefits far greater than just the medicines and the body work and the time with the therapist. So, yeah, super important. And I'm so glad you said that.
Well, it's something that I'm really passionate about teaching as well. When we teach this stuff, this is huge. And I talk about my experiences individually, as a client, or I talk about, my own clients' experiences as well. And we say up to 40%, even higher for some, is actually nothing to do with the therapy itself. A lot of it is to do with the greeting, how you present yourself, how you speak to them, the environment, as you said. If someone comes in and goes, oh, I'm here, half your job is done. You've created a space they feel comfortable to be in and accept anything that's actually coming their way. So, which is amazing too. So when it comes to, it's really nice that they get to have that experience. They feel safe to do so. They feel it's on their terms, and everything is for the benefit of the client. So, we do with NLP stuff as well, with our courses, we teach that as well, components of it. And it's exactly that. So NLP in this instance is we're using it to have a better outcome for the clients. So it's the words that we use, how we relay that, and it changes quite phenomenally the outcomes for the clients, which is what we're all after. We're after trying to help people.
Absolutely. So I think a good segue there, because I was going to ask, again, diving into a little bit more around indications, if we want to be, medically
Specific,
minded
yes.
or yeah, and outcomes. And so, why would people use this? Who's using this? And then what are they seeing out of this? And I'd love to see from a broad perspective, as you say, you have anyone take this course and anyone learn this technique. So, like, what's your most fascinating, I guess, stories or collations of what you've heard and seen?
Oh, goodness. From a application point of view, as in an actual treatment, or as in.
Yeah, like, I guess who's drawn to use it within their treatments and sort of indications they may go for it, and then outcomes that they've found, what clients are finding from this, or what the therapists are seeing as major, movements in their health, whether it's a physical pain, health related, anything.
I think that's from a physical point of view, pretty much anyone. I mean, we treat everyone from babies right up to elderly. And then, as we said, dogs, horses, I've treated a cat myself. There's been elephants for people. It's just the list is endless. And I mean, the main things that we're looking at and assessing is assisting with, should I say, is pain and discomfort, flexibility, lymphatics, overall well-being, increasing organ function, things like that. So pretty much quite broad. I know that sounds silly to say, but we don't really specifically stick to conditions, because that just tells us a name that a doctor has given it. It doesn't actually tell us what we're going to see. I could see five people with arthritis, and they're all going to present completely different to me, and I'll treat them accordingly. I won't treat the name of something, I'll treat them as I see them. So if I feel that they might be, their balance is off, I'm obviously going to do what I can there to assist. So there's things like that that will, it's an ever evolving. So it varies. So I know that's a very non-direct question and
No,
answer there, but it
I love
varies
that you gave
greatly.
that answer, because I, obviously in my work as well, like I try to remove diagnoses because they can also be wrong, So you want to be treating what you see, what your perspective on it, what your intuition, what your data is telling you. So all of that comes into it. I guess, what how would you explain, we know that touch is a powerful thing, right? So, and light touch and the transfer of energy from one person to another, and like you say, the care and all these other things that we talk about when it comes to looking after someone or being as a therapeutic relationship with someone, how would you say, Emmett stands out from some of these? So I guess, what are the specific things you would be seeing as outcomes from clients from using Emmett versus maybe other things? And I know it's inclusive, but I guess it's just that differentiation for the audience to be able to go, ah, that's
Yeah,
Emmett,
distinguish which is
right?
which. I think that the best part with Emmett is it's short and it's fast and effective. Majority of the times, what you're going to see is pretty instantaneous. So the changes happen right there. So it's quick, it's effective, and it's not time-based, it's results-based. So I know as a therapist myself, often we would say, someone comes in for an hour-long massage. Now, we've found that the body, when we're using Emmett, only takes on so much. After that point, it sort of doesn't really know. It's sort of like you've confused it, you've given it too much information. So we limit it to the amount of moves or how much the body can take on. And then after that, you stop. Because we often use this as a bit of a tool when we're teaching, actually, and we say like a numbers game. We might say a bunch of numbers, and every single person will write them down differently. One person drops off the four, one person drops off the two. It's just a sequence of numbers. It actually has nothing to do with the numbers. It just shows that sometimes our brains can take on more, sometimes they can only take on limited. So that goes the same thing with body therapy. So we work on results based. When the body's had enough and then we've got the results we want, we leave it. Don't keep going because they may drop one off, but which one are they going to drop off? Is it the one that we want to stay? Are we going to keep going? They've got the outcome. If we keep going, who are we doing it for? Are we doing it for ourselves or are we doing it for them? So that's when that sort of conversation comes into play as well.
And it's important training for practitioners. And so that's where I guess want to dive into next is that how long do you spend with practitioners or people who are learning this technique? They're not always practitioners. How do you approach that? Do they do ongoing training? So what does that dynamic look like? Because obviously it's a very specific way, and some people will struggle with this way of thinking, I can imagine. And so
Yes.
sometimes it will take people, a couple of sessions and a couple of trainings to be like, yes, got it. And others are like, I just don't understand this concept. Like, what? You have to listen and stop. It's not a set time. It's not a set dynamic. It's not.
Yeah, when we teach it, so I'll just sort of backtrack a little bit there. We'll go back to the sort of teaching side. So from the teaching side of things, as I said, Dad is dyslexic and ADHD, so he tends to didn't want a lot of exams and testing, doesn't like a lot of that sort of theory testing, I suppose you could say. So he wanted it where it's doing it on the job almost. So each time we teach a level, we review the previous levels to ensure that the students have got full understanding. We've seen them in clinical, essentially practice, they're doing it at the same time. We're watching them, we're correcting anything that they may need to correct, or we can assist them with any questions they have before they learn new content. So each time, they revise what they previously learnt and then they move on to new content. So, from a teaching point of view, that gives us that guarantee that, well, not guarantee, but assurance that there is that understanding there. And we teach it in a way that we don't just teach to the medical professionals. On my courses, sometimes, on the courses that I might teach, I could have a holistic doctor, an osteopath, a chiro, a stay-at-home mum, and then I've got a grandmother who just wants to assist her sick grandbaby. So the way I teach it, or the way we teach it as instructors, has to make sure that we can get the message across to every single person in that room. You don't have to be a doctor, but the doctors need to be able to understand as well as a stay-at-home mum. So that's really comes up to our instructors as well. And we teach them, just like we teach our therapists, about the seven A's, and that's really important, knowing how your students are actually taking on that information and adapting to them. So just like we adapt to our clients, our instructors have to adapt to the students as well.
So it's so beautifully rounded.
Quite holistic. I know that sounds really sort of cheesy and a bit of a throwaway word sometimes, but it is very holistic. It is very much about that. We don't just say this stuff, we do this every day. This is in every aspect of our life. It has a better outcome if we adapt to what we're seeing in front of us and work accordingly and with the utmost respect for what we're doing and the people that we're treating.
So how many levels are there with Emmett?
Sure. So with the practitioner levels, which is just module 1 to 6, so there's 6 levels there. After that, you can go on to do Emmett professional levels. it's not necessary to become a practitioner. The understanding of what it is that we do, it could be, but it's changed completely from the practitioner levels. We almost say that the practitioner levels are like learning paint by numbers, you know, it's learning the nuts and bolts of it all. And then once we get higher up and the understanding is there, we really delve further into it with professional levels, and we have six of those. So those you can pick and choose when you want to start and stop them. Some people might wait years to do an eminent professional level. Others will do them quite close succession, and that's up to the individual really. But to be a practitioner, it's module 1 to 6 for the humans, and for the animals, it's level 1 to 5.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, it's incredible how it can be transversive across animals and humans, and be, you know, having effect on all of these areas. So with the actual sessions, and I know you said it's dependent on outcomes, you know, and how the body is responding. But so a session can be maybe 2 minutes, anywhere to 30 minutes. Like, what do you normally see as being a common ground for this?
That totally depends, to be honest. But if I've got someone coming in who's coming in for a treatment, an Emmett treatment, I would be usually spending about between 20 to 40 minutes with them. Okay. And that could be everything. That would be me doing a full treatment on them.
Yeah.
The best part of Emmett, you can do it anywhere, anytime. It's been done at, you know, in the middle of a pub in the middle of Australia. That's just what happens. And a quick 2 seconds that are done and someone's arm, all of a sudden they can lift it. So it really does depend on if you're just doing a quick fix, which is what Dad initially wanted it for, was, well, that's actually kind of how he started. He was in the mining industry and it was very much result based because they can't come in for 7 sessions. They might not be able to work. So they need quick fixing and now. So Dad made sure that it was quick and effective and it worked. Mm-hmm. So that's the best part. That's when we say it's results based. So I can do it in 2 minutes, but that wouldn't be necessarily what I would classify as a full treatment. That's more like a symptomatic relief. I'm just going to be working on the shoulder in the middle of a camp draft or in the middle of a field or something, anywhere, a shopping center, anything like that. So it can be done anywhere, anytime. Yeah. But for someone to come and get a normal clinical treatment as such, I would say, come and pay for a session would be usually between the 20 to 40 minute mark.
Okay. Yeah, really good. Right. So, you know, around your experience and what you've seen of in clients that come to see you for this, any stories that stand out? And I know we all love stories, and that's like, maybe you can't share, but if you can share some of your, you know, maybe most remembered or most, you know, not impressive, but yeah, you know, any stories that you could share with us would be incredible.
Sure, I've got so many.
I've got so many.
It's like hard to pick, to be honest. But I'd probably say that I've been treating a gentleman in probably the last couple of years who had quite a lot of issues with fertility and things like that because he had a lot of scarring in his abdomen. We were working with him. He was only in his 20s. And I remember thinking, okay, I don't know exactly from a therapist's point of view what I'm going to be doing here. Let's just see how this goes. And I just addressed, which for him was his pelvis. Now to delve too much, he had a zero sperm count, and we were just looking for anything so that the couple could actually go and try and do some IVF. We did some pelvic work, and I probably after the second or third treatment, he was saying, probably the first actually, definitely, he said, oh my gosh, didn't realize my bowels were a problem before. And I went, oh, okay. Because he said now he didn't realize that he wasn't a regular. He didn't realize all of these things. And all of a sudden he had changes in his bowel and his sexual function as well, which was pretty phenomenal. And they actually got enough to do IVF, which was phenomenal. So that was a really nice experience for me. I've got so many. I've got a friend of mine who had a little baby, and she was ICU and had quite severe respiratory issues, and she was constantly bunching up in the abdomen. And I just thought, I did literally 2 moves on her, that was all I did, and all of a sudden her oxygen stats went through the roof because she could open her diaphragm and she almost like a little accordion stretched right out, and she could get that little organs moving, the breathing was better. And she didn't need oxygen as long, which was phenomenal. I taught the mum, and she continued to do that. And that little preemie baby is now thriving. So things like that just keep me going when we have those moments. And all we're doing is we're simply just a tool in the toolkit. We're just assessing and assisting where we can. That's all we do. And if anyone says, oh my gosh, this person did that, I just said, how phenomenal that someone can help you in some way as part of your healing journey, whatever that may be. So there's, and then I've got some of animals, assisting animals through, you know, a cat giving birth, of all the things, under a table at midnight at my mother's house, and this cat's decided to give birth and I'm doing a pelvic release and these kittens are just flying out. I'm sort of holding this cat, doing moves on it. And I just think, and I got my mum to take a picture actually, because I was under a table in an office at 12 o'clock at night treating this cat because it would not let me leave. And it was a stray cat, but it kept holding my hand to its tummy. And I was like, okay, well, if it wants me here, I'll keep doing what I can to assist.
Wow.
So here I am under a table treating a cat at midnight having kittens. So I think that's the joy of it. It can be done anywhere, anywhere, anytime. And it's really just using the body as a dance or a game, I suppose, or a pool game, we say. It's really just I'm working with the body and the body's working with me. So if I can be part of that journey and assist where I can, why not?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, just wonderful.
So yes, very varied as far as my experiences there.
Yeah, no, you've given a good like summary across multiple areas of context. So I love that. You know, I guess with any industry, my next sort of question or discussion I want to have is, because it's not rounded out without the opposites. And so, you know, you would probably get a lot of people who don't believe in this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like any industry, I deal with it every day as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have to have that, you know, point to prove, I guess. And this is the hardest part of the industry when you're a bit alternative. Is proving why you're doing what you're doing and having the haters there to then be, you know, showing you why you shouldn't be doing it. So I guess, you know, how do you get around that? And have you had much pushback over the years, and has it improved or is it getting worse? And like, what have you seen with all of that?
Absolutely. I mean, as you said, being in this industry, there's always going to be people that have negativity and things. I think Dad has probably definitely had plenty of it over the years and in going internationally. And I think the biggest thing is, Dad used to always say, is show me where I'm wrong. So it's not about, people would, you know, always question things, and he would say, well, show me that it didn't work. Show me. And it does. And it's, I think the beauty of it, and one of the most amazing things, is people say, oh, you know, he talked me into this, he talked me all this, it's hypnosis, it's this, it's, you know, all these different things, or it's placebo effect. Well, that can't be said if that's said for animals, because animals don't have a clue. Yes, and it is just as effective on babies. It makes no difference. So it works. There is now a fair bit of research papers coming out to prove the validity as well of Emmett Technique, which is overseas in Croatia. They've done a fair few studies. There's been one, a lady in Switzerland did one on lymphatics and Emmett lymphatics, and about how it improves the function for Alzheimer's. So again, she did a controlled study, but it really makes sense, but we've got proof that it works. And I would say to people, try it. What's the harm in trying it? And yeah, if it's not for you, that's okay as well.
It's such a non-invasive treatment, and as you say, it's such a light touch. And as you say, there's not really any contraindications unless there is a gaping hole where you want to put your finger.
Exactly. I wouldn't suggest doing that to anybody, by the way, regardless of the modality.
Definitely a contraindication. So yeah, I love that. And I think we have to understand that this work is, it's tricky, you know, it comes with its challenges with any alternative modality. And what inspires me so much is that people who continue day after day with all of that behind them, and you know that you're making good in the world and helping people and supporting animals, and it drives you forward. You have that passion like your dad, like you, Like anyone working in these fields, where constantly that they're trying to be battered to the side a little bit, but you
Yeah.
know that you're on a mission to do better. So I have the utmost respect and it's just admiration, I guess, for anyone in these spaces. I would thank you for doing this work. It's just incredible. So what do people need to know about finding Emmett? What does it take to, where do you have these courses? Is it in person? Is it online? I'm assuming it's in person, obviously. We would need that, but
Yes.
where are the centers set up? Obviously you're worldwide, which is incredible. Where can we find you? All the contact points, all of that information would be great.
Yeah, so we have therapists all around the world, and the therapists are basically wherever they decide to be. So they are, throughout Australia, UK, Germany. You can find a lot of them on our website, and you can just search through the practitioner list is there, and get in contact with your local therapist is my main thing. As far as courses are run again all around the world in Australia, and they are in person, which is something that was, again, Dad really wanted to stay that way,
Yes.
because it is a very unique, I guess, technique in its application, and we want to make sure that we're giving people the right information as well. So there's so many things that can be skewed putting it all online. It takes out the human ability, which we want to fine-tune that, and we want to encourage that. We don't want to suppress it. So they are in person. They are all around Australia. Again, you should just say jump on the website and find your local instructor. And you can just do a one-day workshop, which is to learn moves for yourself, your friends, and your family. So you can't become a therapist with that, but you can definitely treat yourself, your friends, your family, your animals, whatever you like. That's a one-day course. That's for dogs, humans, and horses. And then we have the practitioner levels, and the practitioner levels are to go on and do this as a career or set up your own practice.
Yeah, incredible. That's a lot of information. Thank you. Yeah, I agree about the online space. I was lecturing at a college, and then a lot of the world changed with COVID, and a lot went online. And I had a big problem with it because I could see the decline in the learning capabilities of those who were going through it comparatively to previous times without the online environment. And I think it, like you say, it takes the human out of it, but it also allows for, not cheating, but not immersing yourself in the information as well, especially a manual technique. Like, of course, it's almost like duh.
Yeah. The amount of people that say, why can't we learn it all online? And I think, well, I probably could, but I don't think I'd be comfortable with that. Because
No.
it is such a big thing. And because it is a big part of what we do, as we said, the seven A's, if we don't explain that and that person doesn't have that, that can change the outcome quite significantly. So if those things are not sort of monitored or explained carefully, then we lose the value and the magic that is what it is.
Exactly. And then Emmett, what stands behind it, what you've worked so hard for, is now represented with these people, and then it's not represented effectively or properly.
That's correct. Yeah.
Incredible, Lindsay. So any lasting thoughts, thoughts to the world, thoughts to
Oh, goodness. Just.
health, yeah, anything there that you wanted to say lastly, or as, information towards even Emmett as well?
I just think that it's coming into a space now where this type of modality and understanding is, I guess, becoming more widely accepted and appreciated for the value that it has. And I think that it's definitely something that, look, if people are not interested in it, just go try it. Just go try it and just see the outcome you have yourself and feel the difference. That's probably the biggest thing when people ask me, what is it? Or would you like to try it? Because that's one of the easiest ways that you can actually understand where we're coming from and the simplicity in it. So I just think, yeah. That's probably, I don't think I really have much else to say other than that. That's probably the main point. And just, yeah, I just think, yeah, I mean, there's lots of different things I could say, but that's probably the main point is, yeah, just giving some autonomy back to the individuals of health and taking that on board and making the choice themselves.
Yeah, I'm seeing a huge escalation in that as well. I think, again, COVID, I think, has blessed us with that realization that we have to have autonomy over our own health, and that Yeah, the medical system's great for acute natures of illnesses, but we do need to have more empowerment around our daily living and our daily lifestyle and our daily health. So, techniques like this and anything that anyone can learn that's quite an easy, simple, non-time and non-invasive technique, then more the better, I say.
Absolutely. And if you can make a difference in, if you have children or elderly or that you're caring for someone, a spouse, partner, friend, if you can make a difference in how they feel and how their health is in a matter of minutes, why wouldn't you? You know,
Exactly.
it just, you don't need any fancy tools. This is all you need. You can do it anywhere. And I just think it gives some control back to the individuals and people in those spaces too. If it's caring for a child or an ill child or family member, you can do that for them. And that is something that's so simple, and it is a skill, and it's something you can reuse over and over again. It's not going to wear off. You've got them, you can use them, and it's using the body space and its natural ability. It can do this. So I think making sure that we give kudos to our body. And make sure that we take that on to go, you know what, it's pretty amazing. I think we put too much responsibility on others controlling what we can do ourselves.
Honor the vehicle as it's a powerful healing
Yes.
system. Yeah, I totally agree
Definitely.
with you. So thank you so much, Lindsay, for your time
That's
today.
okay.
It's been an incredible journey to talk through Emmett, and it's brought back more information to me, and it's sort of like it's evolving, and so I'm like, yes, this is why. That's right. Like, you're
That's
now in
right.
my
Hang on a
mind
second.
for
Yeah.
a, it's been out of my life for many years, and I wanted to bring it back in. So thank you so much for
Well,
your time
thank you very much
today.
for having me, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, wonderful. All right, until next time.
Okay. Thanks, Jodie.
Thanks for listening to the Revital Health Podcast. We hope you enjoy this episode. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Revital Health, as well as our website, revitalhealth.com.au, for upcoming podcasts, workshops, and speaking events. Find out about specials happening in the clinic and all the show notes and links mentioned in the podcast. Please remember that this information discussed here is general information and it is not intended to diagnose or treat individuals. Please speak to your healthcare professional before embarking on any new treatments, lifestyle changes, medicines, or supplementation to assess your suitability. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see you again soon.